And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
And I feel like if I'm going to take the time to cook, I have to execute the dish correctly. I'm not making mushy pasta.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite show in the whole wide world. It's Under the Radar. With me, as always, my friend of yours, Ian Cobb.
Hello, my friend.
Your friend of mine, Derby Rubber.
What's going on?
Not much. How's everybody doing?
I'm great. I'm right in the middle of four drafts in four nights leading into opening day with the biggest of all from an entry fee standpoint, still a couple of days away. That'll be the NFBC league I signed up for this year. So,
is it the main event? Are you doing the main event?
It's the auction salary cap draft equivalent of it.
Is that online?
Online.
Robert Mershak.
Ding.
No, James Anderson.
I wish. I'm doing a main event also. I'm in two. DVR, you and I are doing two drafts together tonight and tomorrow. Tonight we're doing Maki. Tomorrow we're doing XFL. Both they're going to be, certainly Maki's going to be a longer night, I would guess. And then Wednesday night I'm doing a main event with Robert Mershak. First foray into the main event. But I really do wish it was an auction because I like auctions better than drafts by so much. You know, we're going over players. And I was like, you see everybody in this round? I don't know. Let's guess. It was the 11th round, the 14th round, the 18th round, whatever it was. I was like, I want like eight guys in this round.
I don't think it's really a hot take. I think everybody loves auctions more than drafts.
Yeah, but how much is the buy-in for the auction?
A little less, $1,500, and of course the overall prize is a lot smaller because there's fewer leagues like this, but the auction room that the NFBC has is snappy. They have I think it's a 15 second nomination clock.
I like that.
And it starts at 15 seconds when the player goes up, so it's fast. We did this $150 one last week. I did one solo just to get used to the room, and I'm glad I did because the pace is, it's as fast as any online auction I've ever been in. It was 4 hours and 20 minutes to get through 450 players.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's real fast. There's two breaks in there, too.
And are you doing this with a partner, or are you just doing this on your own?
Solo.
Whoa, DVR.
And what night are you doing? Wednesday night?
Wednesday night is the night.
I'm doing the other one Wednesday night.
I feel left out by choice. Like it's almost like the cool kid said, hey, come play the main event. And I said, no, I'm going to go sit at this table by myself
and play the other immediate format. Immediate trade. You take that. I'll take the auction.
No.
Because I don't want to be at the cool kid's table. I want to be at that table because that's a better table for me to play in. Although I have to say, I was picking up players in TGFBI. I am so sad that you can't make trades. I understand why you can't make trades, but it's such a big part of the game. So someone like CJ Abrams, who I wanted to pick up this week.
This tiger has been declawed, friends, in TGFBI.
Yes, yeah. It's like, I can't, you know, I mean, I'll still do well. I think I'll do fine. But it's just like, it's such a big part of the game is, you know, you get value and then you trade from that value to get more value. And that's just, I just feel like it's 50% of the game or 60% of the game that you get to play, and you leave out the other 30-40%.
Well, that's it. I mean, just like when you know when the NFBC people in my life get a little too full of the NFBC format, I do kind of like to remind them, like, you can't trade. Like, you're a common player, a normal player, a person trades. You know what I mean? Like, their leagues have trading. So your whole, I mean, I'm not gonna say the ADP is flawed, but the whole gameplay is totally different than you know, normal person's Yahoo League.
Full respect to the NFBC players. These guys are.
I'm talking about Chris Vaccaro, basically. No, it's really, I shouldn't generalize all NFBC players.
No, but to me, the game is there's value to it. There's definitely value to it. And I'm gonna go in and do my best with it and give it everything I have. But to me, so much of the game for me is reading other people's rosters and figuring out how I can make their team better and they can make my team better. That's the most fun part of the game. or one of the most fun parts of the game. And it's just not something I'm going to be able to do. So, I was picking up, I think on this TGFBI team, I think I got Chris Taylor at second, Gleyber Torres at short, and somebody else good, Ozzie Albies, I think I have at middle at second base. I've got three really good middle infielders. So am I going to pay for CJ Abrams? If it was a trading league, I would do it in a minute, because then you move. I'll pick up CJ Abrams. I'm going to put him at shortstop. When Gleyber gets enough at second base, I move him to second. Then I can move Albies for an ace. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's the game. Like, that's a big part of it, at least to me. You know, and it's a, but still, look, it's the rules of the game. Can't walk in and tell them how they should play their game. They have their reason for doing it that way because of cheating, and you want to make sure that teams don't do it. So full respect to them, 100%. But I think the auction next year, I gotta get in that. Ooh, I gotta get in that. So much fun. I love an auction. But like the GDD auction that was last week, which has now settled in quite a bit, because I think we did our show the morning after. And it was like till 1 a.m. and then like first thing we were doing our show. So like there was no time to like really look at it and think about it. But now it's settled in quite nicely. And I'm like, ooh, I like this team. This is a lot of fun. And I picked up CJ Abrams there for last night. I picked up CJ Abrams for $5 out of 100. And even though I've got Chris Taylor, Gleyber Torres, and middle infield, Ahmed Rosario, because I can either move Taylor to the outfield or whatever, or I can make a trade. I can trade somebody. That's the fun of it. I do like that CJ Abrams, guys. And also on this team, pretty excitedly, Julio Rodriguez, $3. Got him for $3 last week, and Torkelson for $5. So those are some nice, those have worked out well.
I got a 12-team, I've never done a 12-team auction, and I got one of those tonight.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah, and I'm doing it as a favor for a friend, and I'm like, you know, you're gonna prepare, like I'm gonna go hardcore stars and scrubs, and just like get us a bunch of studs early, and then just do dollar days, you know, 3 hours later. I don't think there's any other way to do that.
No, there's another way to do that. What you could do is, I mean, if you're paying, you know, $58 for Juan Soto, you're not doing it right. You know what I mean? Like,
are you?
Yeah, you're not doing it right. There's more value to be gotten.
15, but I mean, 15 teams is one way to do it. 12 teams, though, like there's just going to be so many players available at the end for a dollar.
It's
just the math of it.
I know, but that middle part of the draft for $11, $12, you can get guys that are worth $21, right? I mean, this is the old Ariel Cohen theory that he does to perfection. Is there's just a middle ground. So if you're seeing that the players, if you're one of the only guys who are doing that, it makes sense. But if everyone's doing that, then there's value to be had later in the draft.
It's not really an expert league. I should have Ariel do my draft for me, which I'm doing for a friend. I wonder
he's
if you
a, he's an actuary.
DVR actually, hasn't said anything this entire show.
Sorry, but I'm going to say one more thing. I was on a call trying to make a trade with somebody about 3 hours ago. And he said to me, he said, I'm a gambler.
It's not even open
today. Actuary.
It's not. It's April 4th.
Which is why I'm expressing my frustration about NFBC.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
I like trades. I like making the trades, you know? And so Brett Sarah and I have a really sweet team. That team is growing up very nicely because everyone's coming up. Like Julio Rodriguez on the team, Torkelson, Abrams, Bobby Witt's on that team. Like that dynasty team is dynastying. And reached out to this other guy, and he said, you know, I'm a gambler by nature. I'm not really an actuary. And I just wasn't sure if he knew that Ariel Cohen is an actuary, if he was making reference to that. But anyway, that's it. Sorry, DVR, you haven't said anything. Come on.
Hello.
You want to tell about your pasta incident? You want to talk about that?
My advice would be do not boil a giant pot of pasta if you have all of your oven mitts in the washing machine, because draining that pasta, oh, and your strainers are dirty too, draining the pasta with no oven mitts and no strainer, that takes some skill, let me tell you.
Wait a minute, here's my question. How dirty was the strainer?
The problem was the noodles were going to get mushy if I cleaned the strainer. Like if I took the extra minute or two to scrub out the strainer and rinse it good, because you don't want soap bubbles in your pasta.
No, I agree with that. You don't want soap bubbles.
So I made the quick decision. Al dente is very important to me. And it was important for this particular recipe. And I feel like if I'm going to take the time to cook, I have to execute the dish correctly. I'm not making mushy pasta. So I just went for it. Zero burns.
Zero burns. That's good.
Zero burns. I did not burn myself.
We were sitting there waiting, and we just got a text saying, sorry, guys. Sorry, I'm running late. Pasta incident. I was like, a spaghetti and fish sticks pasta incident or just a pasta incident? It turns out it was just a pasta incident. Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't get burned.
Me too.
All right.
Let's get to the show. A lot of good stuff today. I got this Vaquero draft strat. I needed a judgment on that, but maybe I'll do that after the show. I don't know how interesting that would be for people.
No, I can't wait to hear.
We got into a bit of an argument over our team. You know how we split it? All right, here. So I don't even know there's a short version. Jeez. You know how we split? We do an NFBC. We do draft champions.
He does 30. You do the last 20.
Right. So we flipped it. Just, you know.
Oh.
Opposite day.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's a big flip. That's a really big flip. That's I don't know if I would have made that. That's a draft strategy question right there. Why'd you flip it? It's been working.
You guys still friends?
We're pals. Just, you know, shake things up.
Is it a 150 or a 400?
150.
All right.
We're not like you guys. We stay low. Well, actually, Chris is. I'm not. But anyway, here's the point. So start the draft. This is obviously started a while ago. First of all, it's a 30-minute draft, and I've never drafted with more whiners in my entire life. And, like, they were complaining that a guy was taking 27 minutes with his picks. And I didn't want to say anything because my name's attached to it. But, you know. Anyway, here we go. So DeGrom, Hendricks, Nola, Chapman, Snell with the first 7 picks. Then Gregory Soto, John Gray. So basically the whole point is this is a very pitcher-heavy top 27. Alex Cobb, Andrew Heaney, Colomé. After everything's full, grabbed Hunter Green and Kyle Gibson in the 24th round. The problem here is that third base is super weak. Gio Urshela, Hunter Dozier. And then middle infield, Gavin Lux is the middle infielder for this team.
We'll be fine.
Gleyber Torres and Tommy Edman also. Yeah, but that's before. This is before the AJ Pollock trade. And when Gavin Lux was still like, maybe he'll get some utility at bats.
Okay.
And then catcher kind of sucks. It's James McCann and Ryan Jeffers in the 29th round. So the handoff happens. And the next 12 picks are all bats. Starts with Lurie Garcia, Nolan Gorman, Yu Chang, Gabriel Moreno, Miguel Cabrera. Basically, the argument is building up depth in all the places that were weak because it was so pitching heavy to begin with.
Wait, did you go? Who was your first round pick?
Jacob DeGrom.
And when was that, before or after the injury?
That was way before.
Oh, okay.
This is a slow draft. This happened over the course of, I think we were doing this even last week when we were still here.
Got it.
Okay. Anyway, point is, so the last 8 picks, Chris Archer, Corbin Martin, Zach Lowther, Zach Davies, Anthony Gost, Steven Gonsalves, Alec Mills, and Josh Rogers, who should fill out the Washington staff. The problem is there was a tiff that maybe going 13 bats was a bit overboard to combat the weaknesses. I think there's still a friendship here, but some things were said, and there was a disagreement. Oh, you know, like maybe 13 was too much. You know, maybe Eric Thames might have been, in retrospect, might have been a...
Nah, not terrible.
So anyway, the question is, if you're going to go pitching heavy, let's just say this is your own team. Is it too dangerous to go 13 picks in a row if you're addressing a weak catcher and weak middle infield and weak corner?
I don't think the order matters as long as you get the right mix at the end where you feel like you've got enough cover at all the positions and enough pitching depth. So yeah, the way you get there doesn't necessarily matter as long as you're getting the right players at the right time and you end up with the right mix at the end.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, if I remember correctly, there was a draft that I did that we talked about on the show that I really took a lot of bats from like 25 to 35 and then ended with like 15 pitchers at the end. So that's, you know what I'm saying? Because the bats run out, but the pitchers, like, you have opportunity. Like Anthony Gost right now is an interesting pick in the 48th round or 47th round because he's the number 2 reliever right now in Cleveland.
Right.
With Karinchak out. So, you know, that's what you need to find. And, you know, like guys like Dallas Keuchel, who's been terrible. But, you know, to be able to grab him in the 45th to 48th round, just get more pitching there. But again, would you read the first round of pitchers? Because I once DeGrom happened, I just got confused. Like, wait, when was this? But you know what I'm saying?
DeGrom, Hendricks, Nola, Chapman, Snell, Gregory Soto, John Gray, Alex Cobb, Andrew Heaney, Alex Colome, and then Hunter Green, Kyle Gibson, the first two on the bench.
I mean,
think that's a lot of pitching that should get you bulk. I don't know. I don't have a problem with what Chris did getting all those bats.
All right. Let me. I was lying.
No, I don't. Oh, you were lying.
Yeah, I did. This is normal. Yeah, we didn't flip. I just didn't want you guys to be biased, but thank you. That's all I needed to hear.
Got it. Oh, okay.
I was worried that Steven Gonsalves might have given it away when I said his name, but.
No. You know, what was funny was as
he was so mad at me. It's amazing.
When I was looking at the top 30, I was like, wow, it's not very Nando. Like, that's very, it's almost chalky at the top. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, so I took 13 bats in a row.
I might have taken a pitcher earlier
Ross Stripling. What's the difference between Ross Stripling and Corbin Martin? Absolutely nothing.
Not so much. Yeah. Not so much.
Not that much of a difference.
No, not that much of a difference. No, I mean, I think it's okay.
All right.
I think it's okay.
Thanks, guys.
I mean, I should have known because the way you were talking about the third baseman, you were talking about them as like, oh, these were trash and this was trash. Like it didn't exactly sound right. But okay. All right. Yes. Yeah. Right. So yeah, you're fine. You and Chris will be fine. Everything should be fine. It'll be good.
The one thing this did teach me, though, was Zach Davies. As you know, as I'm sweating these last eight pitchers, and just, you know, like trying to preserve a friendship, which I was going to do anyway. Like, that was the plan all along. But, like, Zach Davies, I took a little deeper look at, and he, you know, he was good. People liked him coming out of the 2020 short season, and he was, you know, just terrible last year. But Arizona's got a new pitching coach. He's done it before, and I'm kind of starting to – this isn't just because we have him and we need him to do well – I really think like Zach Davies could have a low ratios, good season, especially things work out. You know, this new pitch coach is making Madison Bumgarner throw, I think 93, 94, 95. I was reading. So I don't know, Diver. Zach Davies season.
Davies is just a soft tossing command guy. So I think it's always hard to trust him as more than a streamer or two star pitcher. But I think he's definitely one of those guys people forgot about because he signed late. No one's interested in throwing a late dart. I think he's more of a waiver wire ad for me, kind of on and off the roster guy, than someone that sticks the entire time. But I think the Bumgarner velo up situation is one that I'm pretty interested in because Bumgarner is still pretty cheap. If you haven't had your draft yet, there's a good chance Bumgarner sitting out there in the end game. And at the very least, he would also fit the bill of a home streamer, but maybe you get a little something more. I think Bumgarner is one of those guys because he debuted so early. Everyone thinks he's a lot older than he really is. And Zach Davies looks like he's 18, but he's, you know, only 29.
He's got the Kyle Davies problem.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of that. Bumgarner's only 32. I think there were signs of it, you know, last season too. A 118 whip is actually very good. I think we talked about Bumgarner last draft season. We had a bet on him, didn't we?
Did we?
I think we did. I think we had an ERA bet, which was unfortunate for whoever didn't think or whoever thought he was going to be good.
I took the under. That was me.
Yeah, but the whip wasn't bad.
No,
so
the whip
was
good.
There's a path forward for Bumgarner to be useful, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get Arizona has Colorado coming to town, right? Davies is a streamer in mixed leagues for that, on the roster, maybe back off the roster again in a lot of mixed leagues.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Ian, Carlos Hernandez
makes the rotation, exclamation mark.
I was excited for you, man. That's been your guy since long before we started doing this show.
It it's, well, I mean, yeah, okay. But yeah, he's been struggling quite a bit in spring training, but I still think I just like the stuff. I like who he is on the field. Like he's definitely one of my guys. I'm glad that he made the rotation. We'll see how he does. You know, I still have very high hopes for him. I really do like him. And then you were asking about Daniel Lynch. Where are you guys on Daniel Lynch at this point?
I think I'm higher than ADP and the average person on him. I like these highly touted, forgotten about prospects who are kind of just trying to figure things out, you know, a little later in life, and everyone's forgotten about them.
Yeah, DBR, what do you think?
I'm 0 for draft season on Daniel Lynch. I think he, just in concept, it makes sense to take a late flyer and see what happens. Spring has been a little bit homer-filled. 4 homers in 12 and a third innings in Cactus League play this spring.
And no strikeouts, DBR.
No strikeouts. There's 4 pitches there. 4-seamer, sinker, slider, changeup. So you'd think something could work for him. I think you're right to take late flyers on Lynch. Decent velo. Maybe he's still a tweak or two away, but there's going to be soft landing spots there too. I think the key to Daniel Lynch is not using him in tough matchups initially and being comfortable dropping him if the first couple of starts that count are as bumpy as the spring was.
I kind of like Daniel Lynch. I kind of like him. Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know that he's going to... I like what DVR described him, but he's the kind of guy that if he does look pretty good, I just like the stuff. I've always liked him. I remember drafting him in a dynasty league like 4 years ago and just be waiting on him. And I like what you said there, Nando. Like the guys who had the pedigree before are the guys that I'm always looking to grab. Like I notice on my teams, it's filled with guys who were top 10 prospects at a certain point, top 20 prospects at a certain point in their career, and who didn't fully pan out, but there's still something there. One guy I wanted to bring up, I'm sorry, I didn't put him on the list, Diego Castillo in Pittsburgh. Hello? Are you guys paying attention? Do you see what he's doing? Jeez Louise.
That's the guy popping up in Pittsburgh's infield. We talked about that depth chart. Jeez, it was probably back in January, and I think it's just been more interesting in Pittsburgh this year than it's been the last couple of seasons. Castillo's the guy that's popping right now. I think he's going to become mixed league relevant. There's power, there's speed, there's a clear path to playing time. He's on fire coming out of spring training. I think they announced earlier today on Monday that he made the opening day roster too, right? So really good news there. Definitely a guy that you want to think about at least as a cheap mixed league pickup if you're looking for infield help. Kind of in the same vein as Kevin Smith, to be quite honest. Just a guy that I think has a wide open opportunity. And it might even be available in some mono leagues too. I think that's the rare early season pickup in an AL or NL only league that sticks around can end up being a big difference maker. And I don't think it's going to take a ridiculous bid to get him in those situations.
Nah, it will now. I think it will now.
I don't know, man. I don't think anyone, A, knows who he is. You know, B, it's a, like, I mean... It's an unexciting name for your waiver wire. You know what I mean?
Holy smoke. He's available in NL Tout.
Yeah.
I'm looking at him. He's sitting here on the waiver wire in NL Tout.
He was on zero radars. And he's on the Pirates, man. No, like everyone's given up on the Pirates.
Come on, though. Everyone is paying. Anyone who's paying enough attention is seeing that this kid is like not just hitting occasional home runs. He's hitting like bombs.
Yeah, but they're shrugging it off like spring training. Spring training, you know, in a few months, he'll be hitting 220. I'm not saying he will. I'm saying I think this, I'm being the general person.
Well, that lineup actually is interesting to me now. I've been talking about Setsugo all offseason. Brian Reynolds almost got traded to the Padres. Everyone almost got traded to the Padres. Is that AJ Preller in San Diego? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my guy because he never stops trading. That trade he almost pulled off with the Mets. That was like, that would have been the best trade, the worst for the Mets. But what a trade that would have been. Hosmer, Paddock. And wait, there was another piece too. It was Hosmer, Paddock, and...
Diego Castillo. Oh. The other Diego Castillo.
No. It's not Diego Castillo. It's the other guy who was with Tampa. Emilio Pagan. It was Emilio Pagan, Hosmer, and Paddock for Dominic Smith, who, hello, guys, under the radar, Dominic Smith. Like, that's a guy to get. That's a guy to just pick up and just stick on your... not 12 team, I guess, but 15 team. He could end up playing every day somehow. Because he was hurt last year, and he's killing the ball again. And he had a beautiful swing for years. So anyway,
I got, you know, I got Pete Alonso on my all my home run derby teams, and as my props pick for National League MVP. So I'm kind of rooting against Dominic Smith in a couple ways. Wrongly, you shouldn't root against anybody. But that's that's his only path to playing time, really. Maybe a little bit of DH, maybe some DH.
Well, you put Alonso at DH, put Dom Smith at first base.
Robinson Cano is going to be DHing, though.
Ah, maybe Cano's playing second base. I mean, Cano's hitting the ball. Cano's got the, he's got it going right now. He's hitting the baseball. That's why I picked him up in a bunch of places. He's going to play. Greg Allen is another guy in, Greg Allen's a guy who was with the Yankees last year for a while. He got the job. Like what we thought Anthony Alford was going to be, it's going to be Greg Allen.
Yeah, but you know, now he's hurt.
Greg Allen's hurt?
Yeah, his hamstring.
Oh, man.
I know. I was just scanning really quickly before. I was so excited. Like, Greg Allen's in our rundown. Like, I'm in love with Greg Allen right now, and it's just, hamstring.
That's too bad.
I know.
That's too bad.
I know.
JT Brubaker. That's an interesting team. The Pirates are not as bad as the Baltimore Orioles.
Greg Allen's got a lot of power. Everyone thinks he's fast, but he's got some power. He's like a 1240 guy.
That'd be good. But he's got a hamstring. So now it looks like Cole Tucker's going to get a little bit more time, who's had a good spring as well. There was somebody who sent us a question. If we have time, I'm going to put this in the rundown about
yeah, partners. You made Twitter promises. You got to keep.
I did. I made partners.
That'll be right in the rundown, friend.
And I'm pretty sure we've talked about this on the show before, but it's okay to do it again. Oh, Greg Bird opted out. Is that what happened?
Yeah, Greg Bird asked for his opt out. I think he's going to go to Oakland. That's the only. I mean, he's got to go to Oakland, right? They dropped Eric Thames down to the minors.
No, they did? They dropped Thames down to the minors?
Yeah, man. There are a lot of moves that happened like the last 2 hours.
Oh, my God. I need to... I'll catch up on it. All right, what's next on the list? Steven Gonzalez hasn't been sent to MILB camp yet! Nando, what are your thoughts?
That's all. I just wanted to throw that in there. I was very excited. He could make that rotation. I don't know if he's going to.
It could be
Alec Mills, but he's having a great spring, man. But they're using him as a reliever in some of these games and not actually starting him. But I don't know. I think at some point, Steven Gonsalves could. Why not? He's a starter.
That's true.
That's all. We don't have to spend a lot of time. We've talked enough about Steven Gonsalves on the show over the years.
Okay.
Unless DVR has anything to add.
Nope.
Not really.
All right. You know what I did want to touch? I just wanted to give a shout out to Brent Honeywell. Poor Brent Honeywell. Poor James Caparillion. And poor Jose De Leon. All of whom are just like destroyed with injuries again. Like, they have the weirdest injuries too. Like Caparellian, I think I have never even heard of what he has. It's some weird fracture, I think, in his shoulder that takes like 3 months to heal. Jose De Leon crumpled on the mound in pain and had like a shoulder strain, which I think, I'm assuming you can't get any news on Jose De Leon, Toronto minor leaguer. And Caparellian, I think, is the least of the injured of the three, but it's just these three have just been like through so much injury and just so much garbage, and it just sucks to see it happen. It's Caparellian and Honeywell, they could have been in this Oakland rotation.
Does it give you guys any, what you're talking about, does it give you any further feeling of pitch, like the old school fantasy baseball way to go was don't take pitchers early because they get injured too much. And you look at what happened with DeGrom. It's like, does that lead you further down this path of it's just too dangerous to take pitching?
No, I'd still take Corbin Burns so early, man.
Yeah, I guess. Would.
But I mean, like, look, a guy like DeGrom had issues. Like, you know, like we've had inside injuries on our site for the last 3 years. You read enough of them and you're like, yes, trying to pitch through something that you should have had Tommy John surgery for or a PRP injection for is going to cause you to maybe hurt your knee because you're putting too much pressure on that to make up for it, or you're going to hurt your shoulder because you're putting too much pressure on that to make up for it. Like that. So that I like to stay away from.
You got caught. You and Vaccaro got caught with DeGrom. I did not get caught with DeGrom this offseason. Like, I just couldn't. And DVR, I feel like you talked about this on Rates and Barrels a little bit, that the math wasn't right for you to get in on DeGrom. And it wasn't right for me either. Like, I just couldn't find the right spot where I felt comfortable. I just don't trust it. Like, taking a pitcher who's coming off of injury, it's just too darn dangerous. Do you have any thoughts about it, DeVere?
Well, I think the problem I had with DeGrom before spring training started, which of course was delayed with the lockout, was just that We didn't know where exactly he was, and I wanted to see proof that he was healthy. And then when we got the proof that he was healthy, I think it was pretty obvious he was going to jump back up, right? Especially in high-stakes leagues, he was going to push back into the first round, even though you could get him at the 2-3 turn back when we didn't know, right? Pick 25, pick 30. That was very much in play for DeGrom for the early part of draft season. I didn't want him then. I wanted him after he showed us he was healthy this spring, and I only got lucky that I didn't have the right seat at a table to end up with DeGrom in the late part of the first round, you know, before this injury popped back up again. And I'm trying to figure out if I should have just been out regardless, or if I was in at all, if I should have been in prior to him showing up this spring and throwing. Because with cheaper pitchers, well, I was in on Kershaw because he was so cheap.
Yeah, but that was the 10th round.
It's a huge difference.
That's a 10th round.
The 10th round's a huge difference. I think it's, why would I take a pitcher with a known injury, like going forward? Why would I take any pitcher with a known arm injury in the first three or first five rounds, wherever you want to draw that line? And I know you're talking about leagues that have IL spots versus leagues that don't. There's a lot of differences there. You can still stash DeGrom in leagues with IL spots. Maybe you get him back for a half season.
Sure.
Maybe you get him back in June and he's really good. But that's
also
awesome.
Maybe he gets Tommy John surgery and then you've wasted it. So how you can use a spot, I don't know. I just didn't get near it. Like, I didn't even really consider it. There was never a time. I own him in one dynasty league and I was like, I got him there. If he's going to pitch, great. It's one of those things. Again, I've been talking about this a lot. It's not that I'm out on a player and I think they're going to fail. It's just let them achieve on somebody else's team. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean that you shouldn't take him or someone else shouldn't take him. I just don't want to take him.
Especially if the margins are that thin. I mean, if you're deciding between DeGrom and Corbin Burns, for instance. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like you're saying, I'm not going to get DeGrom. I'm going to, you know, wait seven rounds for my next pitcher.
Yeah, it just feels dangerous. Pitching just feels dangerous compared to somebody like Machado. Can you, here, now I got a question for you guys. With the way Buxton is playing right now, if you had the 15th pick, could you see yourself taking him at 16?
No.
Why? I'm not in that camp. I've read so many guys talk about how he's their MVP. I'm not one of them.
Didn't we, wasn't it a month ago on this show we were talking about him as a good value bet for MVP? It was within a month of this episode.
I've been a Buxton apologist for far too long that I actually believe in Buxton to be one of the best players in baseball if he can stay healthy. But the question is whether he can stay healthy. I mean, the way he's hitting the baseball actually surprises me at this point, how good he is. But right now he's being taken in main event around 27. Right around Yordan Alvarez, Tim Anderson, Julio Urias.
Right. Well, it's 27 and rising, when previously it was Buxton versus Mondesi, which oft-injured player that could help win your league for you do you want? It's not a toss-up anymore. Now Buxton is getting jumped up. I don't see it. I don't see it in that price range. And maybe this is a hitter version of the Jacob DeGrom problem that we were just talking about. If you were in on Buxton, I liked Buxton fine where he was going. I was getting him earlier this draft season. I'm going nowhere near him at the inflated price. Not because the price is up, but it's because of how much the price is up. Sometimes you have to pay more, and it makes sense. We'll talk about buying high when the season begins. There's going to be some players whose role and underlying numbers right out of the gates look a lot better than we expected. And the advice will be, it's fine. You could actually buy high. Go trade for that player, even though the old, you know, sell high, buy low is what everyone's going to generally throw out there. Sometimes you have to buy high. Sometimes you have to sell low. And I think with Buxton, you don't have to buy high right now. If you're looking at Buxton versus other players that go in the top 25 or top 30, what does he actually have over the players that are currently going there? He has the potential to match them and maybe exceed them, maybe, if he stays healthy. But he has a track record of bad luck and kind of recurring types of injuries that combined make him extremely risky. And he was risky even where he was going before.
Trevor Story right now, okay? Like, in the same ballpark, you've got Buxton, Urias, Story, and Bieber. Nola and Merrifield. Okay? Like, that's the same area. Yordan Alvarez. Like, that's the run. It goes Yordan, Buxton, Urias, Story, Bieber, Merrifield, Aaron Nola, Teoscar, Hernandez, Starling Marte. I don't want Trevor Story, man. I don't want Trevor Story. I don't want Shane Bieber. I've talked a lot about that. I'm not sure I want Aaron Nola. Buxton strikes me as the best by far of all of those guys. Like the guy who could deliver top five fantasy value.
Then go for it, man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But
in this auction tonight, and I'm sure in Mocky tonight, well, Mocky, you got keepers and stuff. But in this auction tonight.
I think he's available tonight.
He's available, yeah. Really? He was on a deal that expired, so he's open tonight.
Byron Buxton's going to be... He's Johnny Helium 2022, I think. Basically, that's what it is. It's become an unpayable price for me.
Okay. I mean, but the question is, who of those other guys, Buxton, Urias, Story, Bieber, Whit Merrifield, Aaron Nola, Teoscar Hernandez, Starling Marte? I like Marte, actually. Which one of these guys can deliver top three to top five value? It's not going to be Story. It's not going to be Trevor Story.
In that group, it's Buxton for me.
Okay. I can accept the argument that Buxton has the highest ceiling of all those players, but you have to start thinking about actual, like, the probabilities. How likely is it that he's healthy enough to hit that ceiling over a full season? I think that's, however you want to account for injury risk, he is less likely than everybody else you mentioned to hit his ceiling. Right?
So, I'm like sitting here defending. I'm trying to defend Byron Buxton's, like, from a health perspective, and you just can't do it. Like, I can't.
You really can't do it. It's like it's like defending prices of housing, like in the Bay Area or New York or something, kinda, or those markets. You're like, oh no, this is $4 million for a 3-bedroom house. Totally makes sense. Like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Does not make sense. Don't do that.
I love it when DVR gets all juicy like this.
Yes.
That's some good stuff right there.
I like Buxton, and maybe I will end up with him in Mocky, but I don't see the need to push him up as high as he's going right now. That draft season creep, that price, that's too extreme.
You can get Greg Allen 500 picks later, same thing.
Jeez. Yeah.
I mean,
there it is.
I mean, maybe. I don't know, guys. I think Byron Buxton, if he plays, let's put it this way. If he plays 130 games, if he plays 100, what's the over-under on home runs for Buxton this year? What should we say? I'm willing to make a bet. Chris, get it ready.
If he plays 100 games?
No. Just what is he going to do? Including if he gets injured, he doesn't get there.
I think the over-under should be 31.5.
Yep, that's exactly where the projections would have
it. That's pretty good there, Nando DeFino. I think I agree with that. So it's 31.5. I'm going to take the over on that.
I was just about to say, I think everyone would take the under on that unless you have some kind of carrot on the overside. Because everyone's so worried he's going to get hurt. Why would you even, be right about it that one time?
I guess I'm just trying to... I do love that Byron Buxton.
All right, so take it 2-1 on the over.
Well, I mean, then I've already taken the over. You don't have to give me odds.
Just being a nice guy because you guys took my side over Vaquero. But fine.
and then what do we say on stolen bases?
27.5.
That's a lot.
18.5.
Yeah, I think that's closer probably to
Buxton's it. I'll take 30, the over. Buxton 30-30 guy. I'd take the over
I'm
on
telling
steals.
You.
All right.
I'll tell you. 18.5. And then what is the average?
275.
I'll take the over on that. I'll take the over on all three of those. That's what I'm saying. Like what was Cedric Mullins'
maybe you're taking Byron
year?
Buxton too late. Maybe you should be jumping him a couple rounds.
That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm coming down to. That's what I'm really questioning. Like, is he, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Buxton or Trout?
Trout.
Yeah, definitely Trout. Although someone put a comment in the bottom of one of the stories the other day that like Trout unexpectedly left camp. And I don't know. I actually didn't follow up on that. I forgot.
I think he just left camp for like a funeral or something. It wasn't.
I mean, okay. I got another
wasn't
one.
Wasn't anything weird about it.
I got another one for you. Who would you rather take right now, Buxton or Acuna?
That's a tough one.
I think Acuna's been overdrafted too, because
way overdrafted. He's being taken with the 20th pick.
Yeah, and he's easily pushing into the 30s in auction setups too.
I don't understand that. So, like, okay, that's the best one. Who do you take? Who do you think has a better season at the end of the year on CBS Player Rater at the end of the season? Is it Buxton or is it Acuna? I'm saying it's Buxton, and I'm saying it's Buxton.
I don't like the player
for
rater.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we could use earned values from RotoWire or Baseball HQ or FanGraphs auction calculator. We got ways to get there. I think this comes back to, do you want the player who's currently injured or the guy that is very likely to become injured later. Well, I'd rather not have the guy that's already hurt. I'd actually, in this case, I'd rather have the guy that isn't hurt yet, because there's a chance that he stays healthy.
And the guy who's going to provide you with what you need, which is stolen bases. He's going to steal. On his first spring training game, he came out and stole a base. First thing he did.
Sure. No, he's a great player. I think he's, by projections with the auction calculator, he's a top 20 hitter. And I know that that tool juices up catchers a little bit. So you see Sal Perez and Realmuto and Will Smith higher than they would actually go in most cases. So he's probably more of a top 15 hitter. And then the back end top 15 hitters that you would be definitely probably considering Buxton over would be guys who don't run. Nick Castellanos. I mean, you're taking Buxton over Castellanos, right? That,
100%.
That I can get on board with. Otherwise, everybody else up there runs at least a little.
Who?
Once you take the catchers out,
fine.
You're looking at Byron Buxton versus Judge.
Judge runs.
Judge runs a little.
He gives you 5-6.
Yeah. But Judge versus Buxton, who are you taking?
Depends on what I need at that point.
It's early enough that you're setting the tone.
Yeah, yeah. You're just trying to get a foundation, and you're adding the seasoning later on.
Well, look at this. It's a cooking show. We're doing a cooking show.
How about that, right?
Hey, yo.
Like food.
It's a pasta incident. All right. I don't want to answer Judge. Who else?
You don't want to answer Judge.
I don't want to answer Judge. I don't want to answer Judge because I wouldn't consider Judge that early. And I would consider Buxton. So I guess it's Buxton for me. Crazy as that sounds.
To your point, though, the hitters that are all projected ahead of Buxton all go earlier on ADP than Buxton was. So I think that might be part of why Buxton is
Who
is
are the other guys
up
at the top? I mean, obviously, I'll take Turner. I'll take Ramirez. I'll take Soto. I'll take Bichette, right. Vlad,
Ohtani.
Harper, Ohtani, Tucker, Louis Robert.
Betts.
Betts, sure. I'll take that. I'll take
Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, but maybe not.
Devers?
Yeah, because of third base.
All right, Machado?
There's a nice head-to-head.
That's a close one for me, but you got to take Machado. You got to take Machado.
Albies?
Yeah, you got to take Albies. You got to.
Do you? But why, though? I mean, you've just made an over-under on 290, at least 32 home runs, and 19 steals. And you're saying Ozzie Albies is going to outperform that?
No, but Ozzie, if they were both playing outfield, I would say Buxton, but they're not. And Albie's covering second base is nice. But am I, you know what I'm saying, guys? Do you know what I'm saying?
Kind of. I'm trying to understand.
So who else? Who are the other
players? You should really stick to drafts, man.
No, but who are the other players in that top 15?
Corbin Burns.
Kyle Tucker is up there.
No, Tucker, you got to take Tucker ahead of him.
Walker Buehler. You're not a Walker Buehler guy.
It depends on the price, but probably not.
Max Scherzer?
The hitter versus pitcher thing up there is also just a general preference for which arms are going there and how do I feel about the risk that each of those players brings.
But, I mean, who do you take? Do you take Yordan or do you take Buxton? But it's also an overall. Like, if Buxton reaches his ceiling, what is the ceiling? Is the ceiling what I think it is, which is a top three player in fantasy? If he plays 150 games? Let's just dream on it for a second. Byron Buxton plays 150 games this season. Once a week, he takes a seat. He doesn't run into any walls. He makes a point of it. I am not going to run into walls this season. It's not likely, but I'm not going to run into walls this season.
It's a hell of a mission statement.
Yeah. 150 games. Can he hit 40 home runs? Yeah, he can.
Yeah. I'm not doubting the skills. I'm just saying if we have what is clearly a below average injury history that carries extra risk, how can we justify the inflated price on Buxton? Because I could fully justify drafting him where he was going 3+ weeks ago. There was no problem there at all. This is new. This price is new.
Yeah, the price is new because of what he's doing in the spring. But like, let's extrapolate. It's a good word. Extrapolate. He had 230 at bats last year. 235. He had 19 home runs and 235 at bats. So if we extrapolate that to 600, you're looking at 50 home runs, 52 home runs. If we extrapolate his 9 stolen bases, you're looking at 25 stolen bases, 24 stolen bases, and a 306. I don't know where I got that from. A 306 average hitter. That's the ceiling, isn't it?
I don't know if that is a way of tricking yourself into more ceiling than there actually is, or if it's a fair way to approximate a player's actual ceiling.
Well, look at the year before. 130 at-bats. How many home runs? Do you know? I know. How many home runs
10,
in 130?
10 or 11. He'd a bunch.
13 in 130 yeah, 13. At-bats.
That's so you're a 60 looking at a home run pace.
Yes. That seems extreme and ridiculous and so weird and no way. But then he did it again the following year. 19 home runs and 235 at-bats the next year. Talking about a prospect that came up, what was the number one prospect in baseball. If he wasn't the number one, pick that year. It went weirdly Correa 1, Zunino 2. How'd that work out for you? And then Buxton 3.
Yeah, but strange choice.
But at the time, Buxton was the guy that nobody had seen before. He's Elijah Green who's coming up. And he's coming into his prime right now, this minute. Walking right into his prime.
But you've talked yourself out of picking him against every player we brought up. Because they all play third base.
Well, no, it's fair about Machado. I mean, also Machado stays healthier. That's why. And Albies stays healthier.
Yeah, there were 9 players in 2021 alone that had more plate appearances than Byron Buxton has in the last 3 seasons combined.
That's a stat. That's a rate and barrel stat. I bet you that's been repeated from rates and barrels.
He is eating a sandwich while he says that.
I was taking a sip of water.
This is a cooking
you got egg
show.
Salad?
This is a cooking show. You can even go back further. You can go back further. I mean, you're right. He does not play baseball very much. Like he just
that
doesn't,
is a problem in a game where we need people to play baseball
a
lot.
He doesn't play a lot of baseball because the year before that, he only had 90 at-bats. It's insane.
Should I pay 45 for him tonight?
I mean, but then you could win the whole damn thing if you have Byron Buxton on your team.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You could also win it without him, even if he's good. This is exactly what you were just saying, though, a little earlier in the show, right? Like, you don't have to have that shine, like the DeGrom situation. If you pass on that DeGrom discount at the 2-3 turn earlier in draft season, and he happened to be healthy all year, and he returned first-round value, you not choosing him doesn't mean that you couldn't possibly win.
That's right.
Someone else got the value in that case. That's the exact same thing that can happen here. Someone else can pay full price plus extra to get Buxton right now, and he could be great, and they crushed some of their own profit potential because they had to overpay so much to get him. So I'm fine with that. Tip of the cap. I've already got him from earlier this draft season when it wasn't nearly this expensive.
That's true. I've got him almost everywhere. I've got him in so many different places, except for leagues with people who know how I draft and they go, you're not getting Byron Buxton, especially Jason Collette. Tip of the hat to you, Collette. I know you're listening. Just kept pulling him from me because I wouldn't go to the $30 because it felt big. But something about what's going on in spring training. I mean, he's just dominate. He's dominating. He looks like the best player on the field. Just looks like the best player on the field.
All right.
But we have talked this through. Should we move on to Justin Upton? Because that I find that interesting.
We can move down the list. This is just, you know, stuff to keep us going. But I mean, go ahead. Best owner in baseball, Artie Moreno, released a guy who's going to cost him money. That's what good owners do.
You can have a mulligan on that one today if you want it. If you want to take that one back, we can set the record straight.
Well, first of all, Artie Moreno is not the general manager of this team, so it wasn't his call.
And he
has no hand in how the organization.
The GM probably went
to
him and he's like, "Listen, we got to get rid of Upton." He's like, "I got to pay this guy for not playing." And he's like, "Yeah, it's better for the baseball team." And Artie Moreno said, "You know what? You're right. Do what you got to do. I trust you."
Yeah. Okay. $28 million. I trust you. I'll tell you one thing. He's hitting. Justin Upton.
He's going to be useful somewhere.
Yes, he is.
I've kind of argued both sides on this one, so I'm actually curious if you guys agree with this. Like, I think it's possible that you can believe that Justin Upton is good enough to help you, but you also see that Adele and Marsh are a bigger part of your long-term future and can be just as valuable, if not more valuable, because of defensive value.
Sure.
So you don't have the... It's a luxury to keep Justin Upton around as a fourth outfielder and not play him enough. And he was playing some first base this spring. So I think by getting Upton out of there, they can't as easily screw up the Adele and Marsh playing time.
The only problem, if Ohtani was not on that team, they would not have made this move, I'm going to argue. But because the DH is not available for Upton to be able to shuttle him in there, because he never will have the opportunity to do that. I still find it surprising that they made the move. And that they couldn't have found somebody who would have just taken the contract and gotten something for him, right? Like, I'll pay the $28 million, but you just give me your number 9 prospect, and he goes on your team to, I don't know, anywhere, pretty much anywhere. I could see him, if he signs with Oakland, he's got a job the next day. You know what I mean? There's going to be a place that he's going to play once he goes through waivers.
Imagine if Oakland went and got Greg Bird and Justin Upton.
It's just amazing.
That adds 7 dying. Wins immediately.
They'd win 61 games instead of 54.
There you go.
That adds like 2 games, but at least it gives them a better player. Can I tell a little sidebar story? So I got a text message from Robert Mershak saying, "Hey, good news. Craig Kimbrel just got traded to the Dodgers." And he knew because I have Kimbrel. I bought Kimbrel for $11 in AL labor. And I'm like, you know what? This team is looking pretty good now. Still don't think it was a smart play, but it was like I was going for using a poker analogy. I had a up and down straight, and it came through on the last card, right? Like I needed either a 4 or 9, and the 4 showed up, and I got a closer. Who knows how we'll do in LA if his first start in spring training is any indication. It may not go that well. So I'm feeling great. I'm dancing. I'm like, yeah, and I got Riley Green for $5. And then Riley Green right into his foot. Booyah. So the fantasy baseball gives and takes away all in 2 bites. That's just a little sidebar, a little personal thing. I think Adele has proven himself. I think it's going to be good for those guys' development. But I think Upton will find another home. And let's just get into real quick how awesome it is that Bobby Wood Jr., Julio Rodriguez, Torkelson, and maybe even CJ Abrams are going to be playing from the first day. That's awesome. That's just so great. That's so exciting.
You can put Nick Lodolo on there too.
Nick Lodolo too. Let's put Nick Lodolo on there too. Hunter Green.
Yeah,
Hunter Green you can put in there too. But I think this is a huge, you know, huge benefit for baseball and for, you know, that Seattle team is going to be fun to watch. Julio Rodriguez is as good. I remember I called up James Anderson, ding, when I was making this trade with Tristan Cockcroft on the phone, negotiating, driving back from Washington, D.C. on a business trip and like negotiating a trade in XFL to get Julio Rodriguez and giving up tons for him, tons. Guys on contracts. But we finally, right before I called James and I said, I need... Give me your best comp on Julio Rodriguez. He's like, best comp? I was like, yeah, just like, what's his ceiling? And he said, Juan Soto. And I went, what? And he goes, Juan Soto. I was like, all right, I'm going to figure out a way to make this trade. And now he's coming up. And what does he look like? Juan Soto with speed. It's going to be so exciting to watch. Huge. Thoughts?
Isn't Juan Soto with speed? Is that Mike Trout?
All roads lead back to Mike Trout.
That's peak Mike Trout.
That is peak Mike Trout. And Bobby Witt Jr. looks like Mike Trout's swing a little bit. I mean, it's just so exciting. And Torkelson, probably the least exciting of all of them. If CJ Abrams is available on your wire, I would recommend buying him. I know I did last night in a bunch of places. He's so much fun. He's been my favorite prospect for a while. If he's able to come up and play from the jump, all these guys come up, they're going to get extra draft picks. And that's what this whole CBA thing was about. It really is making a difference. Riley Green would have been up. So cool. So cool. What are your thoughts? Nando, what are your thoughts?
I'd just like to hear if you take Bobby Witt or Byron Buxton, given the chance.
Byron Buxton.
Interesting choice.
I would take Byron Buxton ahead of Bobby.
Bobby Witt's going to have more steals.
I mean.
Just as many home runs, better batting average.
No. Yeah. He will not have a better batting average.
Bobby Witt should be, he'll be a first round draft pick next year.
I mean, you think?
Yeah, he's great. He's ready. You don't? I mean, what's his line going to be?
It's in his range of outcomes too. Like it actually is. It could be,
guys.
It could be a 2020 season right away. If he goes 2020 this year with a good average, runs and RBIs are there too. People are going to assume there's more because he's so young and he did that as a rookie.
He's not going to be a first
rounder.
No way.
He could be.
No.
I'm not expecting it, but he could be.
He could be.
The things that you need to do to be a first rounder.
All right, so let's talk about this. Here, we're going to throw this out there. We got to take Green out of the equation. We're going to take Abrams out of the equation because he's not. Well, screw it. Abrams is in the equation too. I'm going to give us four players and you can only pick one who is going to be the highest drafted player next season. So actually, no, we'll put Green in there too. There's CJ Abrams. There's Riley Green, who looks so strange when he runs. He just looks strange.
Well, now he's got a broken foot.
Now he's got a broken foot. He looked strange before he had the broken foot. Fractured. Torkelson, J-Rod, and Witt. So going into next season, who will be the highest drafted player? Witt, J-Rod, Torkelson, Green, or Abrams? Maybe someone else is doing this. I haven't heard it. I'm excited to hear. Nando DeFino, what is your answer?
I think it'll be Witt or Torkelson. They'll be very close because they have the name recognition.
Name recognition.
All things being equal, I think they're going to have the best stats too, but I think it'll be Witt and then Torkelson.
You really can only pick one.
Then it'll it'll be Witt.
Okay.
Witt'll be number 7 overall next year.
Come on, D-Rod.
All right. You don't believe me? Write it down.
Okay, Chris, write it down, please. DVR.
I think it's Rodriguez.
And how high will he go?
2-3 turn.
Yeah. I'm going to say Julio Rodriguez at pick 33. And I think that's the highest. I think Witt. Now here's the next question. We're going to take Abrams out of this. We're going to take Green out of this. Of the top three, if you had to pick one who's going to flop and end up back in the minor leagues this year, who would you pick? Witt, Julio Rodriguez, Torkelson. That we get the call that he needs a little bit more seasoning.
I think it's going to be Julio Rodriguez.
Okay.
I think Jared Kelenic, we saw it happen to him. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something in that organization or that locker room that's not right. Coaching staff, something. I don't know. Just a hunch, because you're asking me to pick the worst out of three.
Out of three.
Yeah.
DVR?
I think it's Rodriguez for this question, too. Even though I think he could be or will be the earliest of all, he has the least amount of time spent in the upper levels of the minor leagues. So I think the Mariners, if he goes through a prolonged stretch where he's not hitting, they will in their minds be able to more easily justify sending him back down, especially as a team that has legitimate playoff aspirations this year.
Look at you playing both sides of the same coin. I respect it. I'm going to say Spencer Torkelson has the most chance to be sent back down and has the most chance to fail. And the reason I say that is he's the only one of the three who has failed in baseball. If you look at his beginning of last season, I think, I'm not sure if he was in Double A to start, but he really struggled to the point that it was like, oh, we may have a bust on our hands here. And I could see a scenario that Willie Castro gets super hot. Jonathan Scope ends up at first base. Torkelson's playing 3 days a week and struggling. And they say, you know, let's send Tork down for a little while. And let's see if he can get his confidence back. So I'm going to say Spencer Torkelson. And we will find out at the end of the season which one of us is correct.
That's right. Write it down on the sheet. Do we have anything on the sheet?
Chris is keeping track.
I don't think he is. I really don't think he is.
He listens all the time. He's
got other stuff to deal with.
Man,
we'll find out tonight. He's baseball pods. I guess the last thing that we got to talk about is the partners talking business.
Yeah, because we got plenty of time to get into a strategy question that you promised the guy would answer.
I know, it'll be quick. Will it? Here's the thing. It will be.
Just go check out episode 68. We talked about it there.
Was it 68?
No, I have no 68. Idea. No,
we're
no,
at
no.
like episode 140.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We talked about it.
We did, but I'll just say it real quick. You really have to be careful who you partner with. You cannot partner with somebody who you have to make weekly choices with. So Steve Gardner and I partner in XFL. Once a month, we got to get together and talk about who's on the wire. That's like the closest you can come. If you're doing a weekly league and you're competing for fab, I don't know how you do it. And I don't think it's a smart choice. That's what I would say. So, if you're like, because then that's how, you know, you end up with DeFino Vaccaro moments where it's like, I told you about this guy and then you picked him up in this league.
Man, Vaccaro's on fire over text too. So
is he?
I told him you guys judged in my favor. He's very angry. So.
Oh, don't tell him. Oh, that's not
no,
good.
No, he's angry
that's
at me. He thinks good. I lied. He thinks he's going to set the record straight on Twitter. So keep your eyes peeled on Twitter for that one. Everybody.
That's what we need. That's what we need.
What was omitted from that conversation?
Nothing. Yeah, I seriously. Told you, what do you want me to admit? There was the draft. That's what happened.
Yeah, we're taking the fifth at this point. Anytime we get involved, it just never works out well. But so that's what I would say is that, like, if you're competing with other players on a weekly basis, you can't. You just can't. Or you have to make you have to so like get through it this year and don't do it again next year. Do you already have any thoughts? I mean, do you partner with people?
Not very often. It's hard for me because I like control of every aspect of everything I do, which is, you know, a problem that I probably need to work on. But I think even at the draft table, I can only do that in a snake situation. I can't do it when players are coming up for bids and it's an open player pool. I think there's too much chaos there. So, you know, kudos to Glenn Colton and Rick Wolf for being able to get on the same page. Probably a lot of preparation going into that, of course, each and every year and being friends for life, basically. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to have a very, very good working relationship or friendship or both to do it well. I think the bigger the stakes, the better it can be if you have that balance, though. I think having someone that can help with your blind spots especially can be helpful.
Absolutely.
But you really have to do a good job of delegating who gets the final say on things where there's uncertainty. And if you can have defined roles on draft day, auction day, in season, clarifying that as soon as possible is probably going to give you the best possible way of making it work.
Boom.
There you go.
We got to go. We've run over the hour.
Look at that.
And we didn't even half the stuff. DVR didn't even cross off half the stuff. We didn't talk AJ Puk. Maybe we'll get to him next week. Who knows?
I think it's Puk. Pretty sure it's
Puk. Yeah, it's like Wolfgang.
All right, it's Puk.
No C.
AJ Puk. Hoy Park, Gavin Lux.
He's starting at second base. Lux won't play the outfield. They'll put Taylor in the outfield.
Soler, Schwarber hitting leadoff. That's very significant to me, I think.
We did talk Buxton, closers.
Oh, look at that. Buxton was in there. And here I thought it was just Ian naturally bringing it into the show.
No, he was in there. I wanted to discuss a little Buxton.
We got to go. Thank you all for joining us. For the man whose team names are all going to be Mushy Pasta this year.
Nah, they're all going to be El Dente puns.
For the man who just talked himself into taking Jacob Stallings over Byron Buxton, Ian Khan.
That is correct.
Thank you all for joining us. We hope this is helpful and informative and fun. Happy opening day. When we see you next time, we'll have baseball played. Talk to you later.
Bye. Good talk. Good talk.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.